Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hour number three, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently here on this Football Friday. Big hour coming up. NFL whip around. We'll buzz you through all the games, all the pertinent sound that you need to hear. We'll make our picks as well. We need a little scratch. Big college weekend. We'll get to some of the big games as well. Somebody sent me a picture, which I have seen before. Teak, it's up on my laptop here. From 1963.
Jeez, how? I mean, if you're one of those kids on the other team, what the hell are you thinking?
Well, the picture
there's
is.
There's no chance you're getting a shot off.
You're going to get destroyed. That's what you're thinking. By the way, what's so meaningful about that picture to me? That's my high school he's playing against.
Oh, is it really?
That is, he played for Power Memorial.
He's here.
Yeah. Which is no longer around. That's where Chris Mullin went for a year. Chris was there the final year before Chris went to Xavier, which is different from where I went to Xavier. Chris went to Xavier. Xavier's in Brooklyn. Xavier is in Manhattan. And this was at our old gym. So Power Memorial, 1963, against my Xavier Knights, which is, and I've seen the image before. You know, and I was thinking about this, and I was talking about it with Ack during the break. Like, it's easy to omit him from that top spot.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, I do think there's a big man bias, although Wilt gets thrown in there a lot, and Shaq.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Shaq, but let's not waste time comparing Shaq and Kareem. Well, let's not waste anybody's
time
with that.
Because he was prolific.
Yeah, it's not even close. I mean, but Shaq and Kareem, please. It's not even close.
I hear you.
It's not even close. But Shaq. But Ack brought up an interesting point, and, you know, we were watching him. This was in the mid-'80s, 86, 87-ish, when they were going back and forth, the Celtics and the Lakers. Kareem was 39, 40 years old, still playing, you know, 30 minutes in the NBA Finals against Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale.
Right.
Like, he played. Up until the end, he was still really good.
He doesn't get credit for that.
His longevity.
Because we just think about him in those Laker days with Magic as if it was his prime.
And it was way past his prime. No question about it.
I mean, so.
His prime was really with the Bucks, with Oscar, and maybe his first 2 or 3 years with the Lakers. But really, the years that you and I got to see him with the Lakers, that was not in his prime.
No.
It certainly was not. So, and listen. There's a lot of layers to Kareem, all interesting. I think one thing, and I've always said this, I feel compelled to say it every time we have him on, which has been now at least 3 or 4 times since you and I have been together, which is great. You know, he didn't do himself a lot of favors. He was a bit of an introvert, which some are. That's I'm not going to penalize him for that.
Particularly when he was playing.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
And
he even was up until about 5 or 6 years ago.
He's opened up a little bit, and you have to know how to interview Kareem. I'll let others judge how our interview was versus others, but I've heard him on other radio shows this week, and it's very choppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to connect to his heart, you got to connect to his soul, and you got to connect to his brain.
Yeah, otherwise he doesn't care.
Otherwise he doesn't. He's not in the business of, you know, just rifling through his highlights. He's a deep thinker, as I said, a very cerebral guy. And, you know, Kareem, there was a reason why he had to go. I forget the year, but I think it was in the 90s, late 90s, maybe early 2000s, but I think it was the 90s, where he went to an Indian reservation to coach because he wanted to be a coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that different from Rick Barry. Rick Barry, with all the respect, was just kind of a jerk. You know, Kareem was just aloof and just didn't really want to deal with you. Two of the best players of all time, certainly Kareem, and Rick is probably top 15 or so, maybe top 20 now. They were not welcome back to the NBA because they were tough to connect to.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I think part of the reason why Kareem is penalized. If he was like this gregarious figure, and if he was cutting up rap albums,
if he was
or
like Wilt,
doing stuff like Shaq or Wilt.
If he was like Wilt, Wilt Chamberlain was gregarious. And
20,000 times he was getting gregarious, if you believe him.
Well, that's what I meant when I said prolific, by the way. I wasn't talking about him as a basketball player.
I'm down to 20,000. Come on now.
But Kareem.
Come on. 20,000?
There's no chance.
There's no way. There's no way.
It's not physically possible.
Unless there's
multiple, like...
An orgy every night.
20 at once, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, I don't know if you put it past him. I mean, you know, if anybody could, maybe Wilt can. I don't know. But go ahead.
We were talking about Kareem in the back, and obviously I remember him in movies as well, because you remember the Bruce Lee scene?
Yeah, I've seen the scene, but I haven't seen the movie still.
But this is the most famous.
That's the line. That's the line from Airplane. It's a money hit right there.
Yeah, it was.
And I do think he's a little penalized as well, for aside from his aloof nature, because he was so tall. And, you know, especially when you look back at the old footage of him at UCLA, smaller guys he played against, a lot more white teams, to be blunt. I think that his greatness is kind of glossed over because people think it was easy.
Yeah, and it wasn't because he was not.
He was an awkward athlete when he was young. He said that.
You're right.
He had to work to become a great player. It was not natural for him.
To be comfortable in his body. Like we had the conversation with Kristaps Porzingis yesterday. When I look at Kareem as an athlete, he actually is in control of his big frame.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of big guys were in control of their big frame.
No, definitely not. Absolutely. All right, so Michigan is still in control of their season. A few teams are, obviously, in terms of the national championship picture. I can't wait for this game.
Why? Because I think it's going to be a bludgeoning?
I think it's the official coming-out party for Harbaugh and Michigan. I think it's the first step in silencing the detractors, shutting up the haters. I'm not going to go so far as to say they're going to destroy Michigan State, because Michigan State's defense is very good. And D'Antonio has a nice record against Michigan.
Yeah, he hasn't beaten them yet, right?
No, D'Antonio's beaten them.
No.
Almost every time. They won once. Michigan beat them. Michigan beat them once. They lost last year in Ann Arbor. It was wet.
Yeah.
No. It was 16-14. Let me see.
Now I'm forgetting.
No, Harbaugh's beaten him once. He's 1-5 against Ohio State and Michigan State.
Again, he hasn't yet beaten the Buckeyes.
He's definitely beaten Michigan State once. The point is, though, I think
2016 he beat them.
2016.
Yeah.
I think that this is now time for Harbaugh. Like, everything's lining itself up.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have lost in front of them. Ohio State, Bosa's not coming back. You found your quarterback, Shea Patterson. Let's see it.
Yeah, and again, the Notre Dame loss, as we've talked about, was early. And Notre Dame is good. It was Shea Patterson's first game. I think we glossed over that when we talked about it at the time.
Maybe a little bit.
Right, Ole Miss transfer. He was in a bad situation. Harbaugh's finally got his quarterback, but he had yet to play a game for Jim Harbaugh. And now with it clearly under his belt, you've seen them play really good offensively. Defensively, they've been great since he's gotten there.
Yep.
It's just been offensively. They've been so inconsistent. But now Shea Patterson, he's starting to feel his wares. You can see it there. Defensive points per game, less than, you know, just over two touchdowns a game, and they're scoring 38. That's because of a couple of 50s that they put on the board against some inferior opponents. But I think you're right, BT. This is the week that Jim Harbaugh and this Michigan Wolverines team has to have a dominating performance. Right? This can't be man, it was a rivalry game and it got close, because then the doubt will still exist in people's minds.
You mean even if he wins?
Even if he wins.
I would disagree. Just win the game. Because it doesn't matter. There's no style points. Win the game.
But they're so much better. But they're so much better.
But it's a rivalry game's tough. You know that. When you play Vatek, you don't know. You Miami, Florida State. You don't know what's going to happen. Duke, Carolina basketball. Just win.
Yeah.
Just win. Get to 7-1. Maybe let Oklahoma or one of those other teams that are still on the periphery, let them lose. Man, I don't know why I just threw out Oklahoma. I don't even know who they're playing off the top of my head. But, you know, there's a few
TCU.
Teams. That's a tough game for sure. Yeah. Where is that game? Is that at TCU?
At TCU.
That's a really tough game, because that place has gotten a little bit of an identity the last couple of years with the Horned Frogs. I don't think that they need – I don't care if they win 17-16. Just win the game and move on to the next game. Because after that – they've got Penn State, and Penn State is a little diminished because, let's face it, Michigan State just beat them.
Yep.
And they don't have Saquon Barkley, even though they're still formidable.
Yeah.
Then after that, you get Rutgers and, I believe, Indiana before you get to Ohio State. Just win the game.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, they won't.
I don't think so either.
If they do, he deserves all the criticism in the world, because now we're deep enough into his tenure. He's getting paid a ton of money. And at that point, you can say – it has been an abject failure. Michigan is not in the business of going 10-3.
Yeah.
They're in the business of trying to win a championship.
Yeah, you're right. The only way they're going to do that is if they're 12-1 at the end of the season.
Have to win tomorrow.
With a Big Ten championship. under their belt.
They have to win.
Of course they have to win. And they have to move into the top five. Now LSU plays. LSU is currently five. This is in the AP poll, by the way. They haven't done the college football playoff poll yet. It's a completely different metric that we're talking about, but it's a guideline to use until the college football playoffs committee starts putting out their rankings right now. LSU is five. They play Ole Miss. They play Mississippi State.
Mississippi State LSU.
Which they should win, but LSU, I mean, we'll see.
But they're in the hunt.
Agreed.
To the point.
Agreed. But also a one-loss team. So Michigan needs to keep themselves right around the top here in the AP so that when the college football playoff committee starts with their rankings, they're heavily at the top of the conversation, not just, well, maybe they're around there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get to our picks a little bit here, six-pack of picks. And I'll tell you right off the top, I was doing this last night when I was watching some of the hoops, and I changed it. I actually had it. I was doing the email, getting ready to send it to Santa, and I deleted it. This is another game that's going to be very influential on the rest of the season. NC State at Clemson.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, we talked to
Finley.
Finley.
Ryan Finley we had on the show last week. You guys want to go check it out. YouTube, radio.com, Tiki and Tierney, all that.
Coming off a bye week, by the way, NC State.
Coming off a bye week. Now, I was good. I don't know if I think they're going to win. First of all, they could win because Clemson's quarterback, you just don't know what you get there. They are 17.5-point underdogs. Now, it's at Clemson. And I was going to take NC State. That's the email part that I deleted. You have an NFL quarterback on your team.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he's going to be the fifth pick, the ninth pick, the 12th pick.
We're talking about Finley.
Ryan Finley.
We're not talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Not Clemson. No. Although he could be. But right now, Finley, guaranteed first round pick.
Number one prospect on CBS. Number three lowest on all the other sites.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, if you have an NFL, even if he's not a great pro, but if you have a surefire first round talent on your team, you are supposed to hang around. That almost looks like easy money. I don't know. Now I look at it more. I don't know why I deleted that. Ryan Finley, a future pro, is getting three scores. He's getting 17 and a hook. And I don't know why I changed my mind on that.
And Clemson hasn't been, they've been good.
Not Deshaun Watson's Clemson Tigers.
Exactly. They're not dominating everybody.
No. So if Finley doesn't play well tomorrow, could that alter how we view him as a pro?
These are the games when elite-ish, because I don't know if he's elite, because I haven't seen him play against teams like Clemson, elite-ish quarterbacks in college football play a defense like Clemson's, which is as stout as any defense in football. You have to show up. You can't be mistake riddled. You can't have the excuse where our line is inferior to their D line, and this is why we. No, you need to show up, and this is a great stage for Ryan Finley.
It really is.
This is one of the games that you watch, not because NC State is viable in the ACC or even in the national championship conversation.
Well, they're 2-0 in the conference.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying.
They haven't lost a game yet, by the way, just so people know this. They're 5-0.
I know.
Okay.
But look, you got to go look at the previous schedule and see what they
No, play. I know. But they are 2-0 in conference.
True, but still, this is a game where Ryan Finley has to play great, and then we start really saying, all right, mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's going to go in the top 10.
Because the kid from Duke is getting more traction.
Right.
More and more traction. Right. A lot of people like him.
We had in here last year. We met him. He's a good kid.
He is a good kid.
Really good kid. I think he's banged up, though, this week.
He's playing.
He is.
He's playing.
They're playing Virginia.
He's playing.
But I think he's banged up. So.
Could be a tough time for Virginia. You guys going to win this one? The battle of the nerds? The academic nerds?
our defense was really good last week.
I know it was. That was a great win against
Miami. Offensively.
Ugly win, but an important win for your coach.
Offensively, we left a lot to be desired.
I hear you.
A lot.
I know. And the point, we're going to break here, but the point where you say about how there's not a – like, Ryan Finley, like last year, I remember watching the game because it was on CBS Sports Network, and I wanted to learn more about Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get to see Josh Allen play every week. You know, the first game was against Iowa. I remember watching that on the Big Ten Network. There was another game against whomever. There was his bowl game where Elway was there. But the point is that they were at Oregon, and it wasn't even competitive, and there was just this monster disparity between who they trotted out versus, and Oregon wasn't even great.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah.
But Finley doesn't have that excuse.
You're right.
Josh Allen had that last year. Like, these guys couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage and get open.
Yeah, your team is grossly inferior.
Finley doesn't have that.
No.
This should be a close game if you're going to be a good pro. So I'm looking forward to that, too. It's a good college football weekend, T. Coming up, let's make a little scratch. I mean, T, I don't know how else to say it. I can't keep, like, it's got cold for what it is. Dude, you got to pick up your picks. I mean, you're embarrassing us at this point. I mean, every week you're sub 500. Come on, dude.
No, I'm at 500 or sub 500.
You're 41% on the season, so it hasn't been many plus 500 weeks. Come on.
There has not been a plus 500
not
week.
Not one? Not
there
even
there
a
has
enough.
Not God. Been a plus 500 week.
Come on. And every week I ask you, are you going to start winning some games? Are you feeling good this week, Teague?
6-0
this
week.
And what do you
week.
Say? You always say yes.
6-0 this week.
How about 4-2?
No, 6-0.
How about crawling
I
before you run?
I want 6-0.
All right. Do you feel good?
Well, I'm directly against you in one, I think.
Well, then you're going to be at least 5-1 because that never works out in your favor. Watch, I just jinxed myself. Let's make our picks, and we'll do that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn, like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere? You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn strikes. If that's you, you knew, though, that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn, correct? Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, NFL whip around coming up in a sec. First up, though, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Interesting question. Spencer at Grizzly Ham Leg tweets, thinking about the high trade that went down earlier today. Do you guys think that the Browns make a move for Le'Veon Bell? Todd Haley is former OC with the Steelers. We think, Tiki?
I say no chance that's happening. It's in division, and it would be It's too close to home. I'd
too
say
personal.
No. Agreed. Exactly.
I agree. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. So we've got the early London game this week, right? See, I love those. I love those because during Tops now, like for the couple of the segments that I might not be in, like when Coach Cower comes in, I'm not in that segment.
Yeah,
I just go and I just check out the score. I got fantasy flowing, see what's happening with the point spread. Got a little something to stay distracted.
It's early in the morning.
Never hurt. So you ready to whip around the? Now, by the way, what the NFL whip around is? I mean, it's obviously pretty basic, but for the games that you and I do not hit in our six pack of picks,
yes,
this allows us to circle back and have a basically briefly touch each game. So these are the games that are not part of our picks. You ready to roll?
Yep, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so listen, Tennessee's 3-3, the Chargers 4-2. We talked about Tennessee's lack of offense. Mariota's been a mess. They struggle to score 14, 17 points.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, this is the game that is in London, BT, as you mentioned. Yeah. This is a hike for the Chargers. Now, I like the Chargers in this game, but it's a closer trip for the Titans. And what we've learned is a team that handles the logistics best is usually the one that finds a way to win this game.
Yeah, something the Raiders did not do, considering that they almost went on Saturday for the game on Sunday. Melvin Gordon, we know Todd Gurley's getting all the love out there in L.A., rightfully so. Gordon's having a hell of a year. Almost 500 yards on 91 carries, 6 touchdowns, and on the challenges of going across the pond, here's Philip Rivers on playing in London.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six pack of picks.
All right, first of all, a complete change in philosophy. What I've been doing is, and it has not worked, even though I've been very good on the NFL, my college picks have been kind of bad. So I am getting off my mid-major value search. I've been scouring the mid-majors, you know, the Akrons and these. Nope. Three very big games. I'm going for the big dogs, and we'll see what happens. Complete shift in philosophy. Here we go, Teague. Michigan, -7 at Michigan State. I said this the other day. First time I've actually said what I'm going to do for our picks. Michigan, -7. I'm taking this. I know that Harbaugh is 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. I know last year the 14-10 loss, rainy Ann Arbor. I know Shane Patterson, by the way, starting to round into form. He's over 70% now. He's got 10 touchdowns, 3 picks. He ripped off an 81-yard run last week. He had an 8-yard touchdown run as well. Now, Michigan State's top running back, L.J. Scott, ankle issue, which has been lingering for about a month or so, really limits what they can do offensively. It's a noon kick, by the way. And the Spartans aren't terrible. They're 4-2, 2-1 in the Big Ten. And Sparty's won 4 of 5 and 8 of 10 in this matchup, in this rivalry here. But it's just too important. I think Michigan's better. I've seen it on a weekly basis. They've gotten better each week. They look like a team that's starting to peak. I know it's a rivalry, whatever. Lay the touchdown. Wolverine's gonna roll here. I'm gonna say Wolverines win this game. I don't want to disrespect Sparty too much because they're not terrible at all. I'm going to say 31 to about 31-21. Michigan by double digits, barely. 10 points, Michigan takes it. Up next, I'm going to the SEC. Again, forget about this mid-major stuff for now. Auburn, we talked a lot about him this week. Gus Malzahn, already the hot seat. We should all be so unlucky. $40 million guaranteed. You can literally light me on fire, and I'll take my chances that I come out of it unscathed, and as long as the $40 million is there waiting for me. He is minus 3.5. Auburn laying the wood at Ole Miss. They're on the road. Ole Miss is okay, 5-2. Auburn, we know, 4-3, but they're 1-3 in the SEC West. Now, it's not a good trend. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a gut play because Auburn has not played well the last couple of weeks. They lost to Mississippi State. They scored just 9 points, and they lost to Tennessee, which, quite frankly, if you want to be good, all due respect to Tennessee, you can't lose to them, especially at home. They also lost to LSU earlier by a point, and they won 4 of their first 5. So they're good. They've lost their way. I believe that they can rebound here. Tigers' defensive stats are terrific. The offense is a bit of a problem, just 94th in the country, but Ole Miss's defense is not good. They're 112th overall, and I think that there's enough openings for Auburn to score enough points to cover a relatively small spread. 3.5 points, give me Auburn. Up next, the Buckeyes. I have not touched the Buckeyes all year on this show. Doesn't mean I haven't touched them elsewhere, but I haven't touched them on this show. Ohio State minus 12.5. At Purdue, bright lights, a night game in West Lafayette. It's pretty interesting. 7:30 kick. Purdue, 10th in the country in offense. Sneaky. They put up points. 500-plus yards. Listen, Ohio State, they've had a lot of close games, but they win those. And I believe that too many people are penalizing them. They're not winning by 30 or 40 points. There's value in knowing how to win. Yeah, 12.5 points is a little meaty. I hear you. But I just don't see how Purdue can stop Haskins and company. Haskins, 28 touchdown passes, by the way, in the country. Number one, most passes. Purdue might score a little bit. Eventually, Ohio State scores. I think they score plus north of 40 points. We'll lay the 12.5. Give me Ohio State. NFL. Ravens, minus 2.5. They'll host the Saints. Here's all you need to know. First of all, the Ravens are really good. The Saints are outdoors. It's going to be high of 53 during the day, which means, because it's a late kick, 425 Eastern, that temp is going to dip into high 30s-ish a little bit. 16-mile-per-hour winds as well. You also need to know this. The Ravens are wearing purple uniforms, the color rush. I like those purple uniforms, and I like the Ravens team a lot. I had them as a playoff team coming into the season. Ravens minus 2.5. I'm taking the Ravens. Dallas at Washington. You don't know which Dallas team is showing up. Mm-hmm. They're either good or they're terrible. The first week in Carolina, non-existent offense here. I'm going to take the over in this game, though. It's a very low number. It's only 41.5. It's going to be dry.
That's easy.
Nothing's easy.
2021.
Hey, listen, for a guy who's winning 41% of his games, I would say anything's easy. But it's easy in the sense that it looks attainable when you look down and you see 41.5 staring back at you. So I'm going to take the over in this matchup. Hope for something wacky, missed tackle, block punt, field goal, kickoff, return, something. Give me the over, Dallas at Washington. Finally, the Colts, minus 7.5 over the Bills. What you need to know about this game, the Bills, every pertinent defensive stat, they are dead last in the NFL. I think the Colts probably need to just score 20 points to cover the 7.5 nut, and I'm confident they'll do it. They're a little bit better than their record indicates. They played some tight games, including the Pats, and almost won, or at least competitively speaking, they were there. So here we go. Michigan minus 7. Auburn minus 3.5 at Ole Miss. Give me the Buckeyes to cover 12.5 at Purdue. I like the Ravens over Drew Brees and the Saints, minus 2.5. Dallas and Washington, go get you some money on the over, which is 41.5. Colts, minus 7.5. They will beat the Bills probably by 17 to 20 points. T, go get them, buddy.
Appreciate you, BT. I'm changing my philosophy, too. Obviously, going same sort of philosophy of you, but looking at different things Like, how do you perform against the spread? Oklahoma is at TCU. They're an 8-point dog in this game. OU is coming off a bye week. They have a top 10 offense. We know how good they are. But they've been inconsistent a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. They fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Stoops. We'll see how Ruffin McNeil, I've been talking about this all week, how he makes this defense more aggressive. TCU has underperformed against the spread significantly, especially when they've been favored, they underperform. So they have inconsistent QB play, and I think Kyler Murray and his boys down there in Oklahoma are pissed off with how they lost to Texas. I think this is an easy win. Not an easy win, but I think 8 is easy for them against TCU, even though it is on the road. Northwestern minus 20.5 at Rutgers. They play tough against Michigan, and they beat Michigan State. Northwestern. The Scarlet Knights are garbage. Other than Indiana, they've gotten blown out every game. Minus 20.5, even though it's down here in New Jersey, right down the road from us.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter. Take Northwestern minus 20.5. They are so bad.
They should almost pull the plug on that program. That's how bad they are.
OSU at Purdue. I'm touching this game as well. I'm not going opposite BT, but he said something very interesting in there. Purdue can score points, man. Top 10 offense in football. 33 points per game they average. Iowa State's the number 2 offense in college football. They score 46 points. There's going to be scorers in this game, and I think OSU and Purdue are going over the 68. So
like
give me
it.
Purdue, OSU at Purdue. So you know they're going to play well. Ohio State's going to have to, I don't want to say keep up, but you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
outscore them. So give me the over in that one. Moving on to the National Football League, the Cleveland Browns, trying to rebound from one of their worst performances of the year, are at Tampa Bay. Now, this is the home opener, not forget, for Jameis Winston. His home debut, I should say. They have the top offense in the National Football League. A lot of that is the holdover from Ryan Fitzpatrick, those first couple of games that we all remember. But on the defensive side, Gerald McCoy is out, Vinnie Curry's out, but I still like Tampa here. I like Jameis being smart. They put up a lot of points against the Falcons. I think they'll do well and win this game at home, -3.5. So give me Tampa Bay -3.5 hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, completely opposite of BT here.
Kevin Love gonna score a touchdown in that game?
Yeah, I think so.
You say Cavaliers.
You know what I mean. Cleveland Browns. New Orleans at Baltimore.
Head to head.
Going head to head. Ted Ginn Jr. is on IR. I think he's out for the season, yeah. He's on IR. But it opens the door for this kid, this rookie who we saw last week caught Drew Brees' record-setting yardage in the passing game. Traquan Smith, get him a chance to get into this lineup. Now, I know the temperature is going to be a little bit chilly. I know it's Baltimore and it's grass and they're wearing their color rush purple or whatever.
Purple.
Mark Ingram is healthy and available and playing for this New Orleans team. They can mud it out if they want to. And Alvin Kamara is one of the best running backs, multi-purpose, that I've seen ever in the National Football League. I like New Orleans here getting 2.5 on the road down in Baltimore. Houston at Jacksonville, +4.5. Now, we talked about this game a little bit. There's some injuries on the Houston side. But Jacksonville, I have zero faith in what they're attempting to do. They're going to bring in Carlos Hyde, this happened today, by the way,
mm-hmm.
right? Carlos Hyde got traded today to Jacksonville, and he's going to have to play on Sunday. To make this offense go. It's not happening, right? It's going to be as bad as it was before. I like Houston, even on the road here, and even with some of their injuries in Jacksonville. Basically, all they got to do is win this one to cover it. I think they do win it and keep it close. Jacksonville's not scoring 40 points. They're not outscoring them by 20 points. So give me Houston +4.5, even though it is at Jacksonville. So to recap, my Oklahoma -8 at TCU, Northwestern -20.5 at Rutgers, Purdue, OSU, give me the over 68, Cleveland at Tampa Bay. Give me Tampa Bay laying 3.5. Give me New Orleans, the Saints, +2.5 at Baltimore, and Houston, +4.5 at Jacksonville.
All right, T, good luck. Good job. Good stuff. Santa's going to post them on social media. Go and dig in, see what you like, and jump in and go make yourself some coin. Let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back. We'll bounce around all the games. NFL whip around, Tiki and Tierney style left the rack. Here he is.
Titans, Chargers.
Okay, so listen, Tennessee's 3-3, the Chargers 4-2. We talked about Tennessee's lack of offense. Mariota's been a mess. They struggled to score 14, 17 points.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, this is the game that is in London, BT, as you mentioned. This is a hike for the Chargers. Now, I like the Chargers in this game, but it's a closer trip for the Titans. And what we've learned is a team that handles the logistics best is usually the one that finds a way to win this game.
Yeah, something the Raiders did not do, considering that they almost went on Saturday for the game on Sunday. Melvin Gordon, we know Todd Gurley is getting all the love out there in L.A., rightfully so. Gordon's having a hell of a year. Almost 500 yards on 91 carries, 6 touchdowns, and on the challenges of going across the pond, here's Philip Rivers on plane in London.
This is a big game. So I think those things are good and fine to talk about. Let that be a sidebar to the game and playing in London and all those things. But we gotta make sure we do whatever we gotta do to win the game, get to 5-2 at the bye.
Patriots, Bears.
Okay, this one is so interesting for so many reasons. Bears coming off kind of a lackluster performance in Miami. The Pats starting to really weakly get their offensive groove here. Pats 4-2, Bears 3-2. It's in Chicago. Should be fun.
Yeah, this is a chance for the Bears to show that they belong with the elite teams in the National Football League. I think the Pats win this game, BT. I know Bill Belichick is always aware of the danger from having a good defense like the Bears do.
Yep.
But this is Tom Brady, and he knows how to manipulate and get past the great defenses in the NFL.
In case you're curious, 49 degrees, sunny at Soldier Field, 1 Eastern kick. Of course, it's on CBS, Ian Eagle, the Birdman. And that's the game where he said he's going to drop a little Tiki and Tierney reference, see if he's on point. Here's Bill Belichick, meanwhile, on the Bears.
They can move the ball in a hurry, score points, play defense, strong in the kicking game. They're at the top of the league in a lot of categories. I can see why. It's a really solid team in all three areas across the board.
That's a pretty solid as well. They've got a nice running attack to aid that passing game. Sony Michel, you like him, don't you? He started to play pretty well.
Look, I loved him in college at Georgia. He was a difference maker out of the backfield and as a runner in many different facets, and he's starting to show that now in New England. Good for them.
Lions, Dolphins.
All right, I got to be honest. This is a game I don't really have much of a feel for.
It's hard.
I don't. Detroit's 2-3. The Dolphins are 4-2. Do you really believe that Brock Osweiler is going to replicate what he did last week? Maybe he does. I don't know where he was great. Almost 3 Bills and a couple of touchdowns against a stout defense. But this is an important game. If the Dolphins win, they're 5-2.
Yeah, now this was kind of a late start, at least in our minds, for Brock Osweiler, even though I think all week they knew that Ryan Tannehill was going to be out. But Brock Osweiler has struggled when he's had time to prepare. We saw this going into when he came back to Denver, but also when he was in Houston. I mean, it was just he hasn't been able to handle the pressure of being the man. This might be his third and final shot to do so, but if he does, it's really going to put pressure on the Dolphins to figure out what they're going to do with Ryan Tannehill. That's a different story outside of this game, but it is something to watch for Brock Osweiler in this game.
Well, at least now the Lions can prepare for Brock Osweiler, knowing that he's going to play. Glover Quinn chimed in on that.
He's with him in Denver, so he has a great understanding of the offense. He's in warm weather, playing up in Denver in the cold, playing in Miami in the warm. And he made a lot of money on the way, so he's probably on cloud nine right now, having a good time, playing free, having fun.
That sounds like a YouTube video. I don't know, somebody doing like, I don't know, some sort of vape. I don't know. That just struck me as funny. Here we go. So the Lions, they were a mess the first couple of weeks here. They've quietly won 2 out of 3, and their lone loss, a 2-point game in Dallas. So Patricia, he stabilized things. He was pretty wobbly early.
There was some thought that they were not listening to him and they were frustrated by his Belichickian methodology.
At
the end of the day, people want to win.
Vikings, Jets.
Well, the Jets have been doing a little more winning than maybe we thought they would. They are suddenly 3-3. The Vikings, the defense was not very good early on, but here they are 3-2-1. This one is a couple of miles from our studio. Anthony Barr says, how do you contain Sam Darnold and the Jets' offense, which has been pretty run-heavy lately?
I think it's important to stop the run, force him to make plays with the ball in his hand. Obviously, he's very equipped to do so. Good arm, great athlete, smart with the football. He'll take his chances, but I think they're at their best when they run the ball well.
Listen, I thought the Jets would beat the Broncos a couple of weeks back. They did. I picked them to beat the Colts last week. They did. I can't in good faith pick them to win this game. I think it's going to be tight. I think the Jets, the place will be pumping. Vikings are a better team. I think they squeeze it out.
Yeah, their offense is really good. Kirk Cousins has been fantastic. Adam Thielen's probably the best receiver at this point in the season in the National Football League. 100 yards each and every game. He just keeps balling. So I agree with you, BT. Jets will play well, but I think Vikings win this game.
Panthers, Eagles.
This will be fun. A little Cam and a little Carson Wentz. So the Panthers are 3-2. McCaffrey with a new role, a little expanded role in the backfield, I should say. And Philly, little bit of everything so far this year. A little Super Bowl hangover, a couple of impressive performances. But this should be a fun game in the NFC.
Yeah, you know, but the problem is when you look at these teams, this Philadelphia team in particular, they've beaten the Giants and the Colts their last couple. They won the first game against the Atlanta Falcons, which was an ugly affair. But they haven't won the games against the tough opponents yet.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina's a tough opponent. This is a game they have to win if we want to start thinking of them as being able to defend their Super Bowl title.
Do we have to say the same for Carolina to start putting them in the heavyweight division?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what makes this game so compelling.
Yeah, it does. McCaffrey, I'm curious how he holds up the rest of the way. He's starting to get, you know, those 18, mm-hmm. 20 carries inside the tackles, banging bodies differently than he did a year ago. Can he hold up?
Yeah, I think he can. Okay. He's big. He's not a small guy. People assume that he's like this scat back player. He's not. He's 215 pounds. He's a big player.
Speaking of about 240 pounds, how about Cam Newton on the Eagles defense? Here he is, the former MVP.
Well, I believe they're better than they were last year. The depth that they have and, the explosiveness, on the defensive side of the football is something that we will have to tame.
Rams, 49ers.
All right, try to pick out something here that's interesting. Probably have a lot of fantasy people going with the Rams 6-0, the Niners 1-5. 49ers have been playing tough, and let's face it, they kind of gave Aaron Rodgers a gift the other night by going, instead of going for the field goal, throwing a bomb and giving him about $110 with no timeouts. Look, what are you doing, Shanahan?
San Francisco is 1-5, but they're not a moribund 1-5 team. They play really well. They have good defenders, especially at the front four. And C.J. Beathard's not a horrible player. Like, he can make the throws, especially when Marquise Goodwin is playing as good as he is, running those go routes down the field. So the Rams should win this game easily, but just don't chalk it up as an easy win.
Well, here we are. It's middle of October, and on the right side of the column, the Rams yet to have a loss, so that is still perfect. Any thoughts on a perfect season, Jared Goff?
I haven't felt like we're trying to be 7-0 this week. We're really trying to win. And the previous week, the same thing. We really haven't felt that way ever. And so, each week, we will go into it putting our best foot forward and trying not to think about the overall pressure or anything and just trying to win one week at a time.
Bengals, Chiefs.
All right, so the Bengals 4-2. Kansas City, the high-octane performance. Their lone blemish of 43-40. Just treat for football fans last Sunday night against the Pats. This should be awesome.
Yeah, this will be a good game, but this could get out of hand too, BT.
Really?
This is the number one offense in National Football League versus the 29th ranked defense in the NFL. So it's going to be incumbent upon the Bengals to run the ball to slow this thing down. They can't try to play let's shoot out with the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll lose.
Oh, they won't win that kind of game. But you know what's funny? When I look at this, and this isn't necessarily about the point spread, but just about a competitive tone to the game. This is one of those numbers where I look at it. It's like Kansas City's minus 5.5. So it's inside of a touchdown. It's at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. We know they can hang 40 on just about anybody.
I'd go Kansas City all day.
Honestly. I would, but no. I actually think they're trying. That number is interesting. I believe that they are trying to lure you in with an attractive number inside of a touchdown to bet the Chiefs. I think I'm going to actually make a notation here. I'm not saying I'm going to bet this. I think the Bengals cover this. Mm. I think it's a tight game. There's something about that 5.5 points that gives me pause. This is going to be fun. I'll tell you what, though. Patrick Mahomes, no pause. Here he is on the Bengals defense.
I mean, they have a ton of talent on their defense all around. And so for us, it's going to be a great challenge getting to go against someone that is some team that is that talented and that can make plays, it seems like, at any moment.
All right. So there you go. Patrick Mahomes, he'll go over 2,000 yards. He's 125 or 145 yards away. So as long as he stays healthy.
We're not even halfway through the season, dude.
I know.
It's unreal.
I know. He'll eclipse 2,000 yards probably certainly by halftime if he's healthy. 18 touchdowns already. A couple of picks, but all part of the process. So yep. Week 7 around the NFL.
Do you think the Dodgers close it out against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight?
No, Brewers win this game.
Injun Ryu is on the mound. He's been really good, pitching sub 2 ERA so far in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. Brewers.
12 strikeouts and was one start. Think so?
Brewers.
Wade Miley.
Game 7, Brewers.
All right.
Brewers going to win this game tonight.
I hope it goes to 7.
So do I.
We were wrong about the other series. I thought the Astros.
Well, when you get screwed out of a 2-run home run, it's pretty important.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it should have been. it should be 3-2 right now.
It should be. And, we said this to start the show, but the way the Red Sox have won, now they haven't won a championship yet here, but the different versions, you know, from when they first broke the curse of the Pampino and they finally won their championship with Theo Epstein and that crew, Pedro, Kevin Millar, you know, David Ortiz, all those guys, Schilling, Francona, they're the best organization in baseball right now.
You're right.
The Red Sox are the best franchise in baseball.
You're right. It's a heck of a sports town, too, up there in Boston.
It is.
I hate to say it.
Take the pressure to get to this point after all those wins in the regular season, it was heavy, and they plowed right through it. So safe travels to Virginia, buddy.
Thank you.
I will see you on Monday. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.